last thing we discussed, if you recall, was Shomer Ka'onin. And our main question was how to interpret the Chaf HaDimyon, Ke'onin. Do you remember this discussion that we had?
Yes.
Is it to be taken literally as if he spoke, he aniyah, this manish an aniyah, or it's ke'onah means he's yotze vicariously through somebody else's aniyah? And this we said was a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos in the Sefer of Brachos with regard to anichnas lebeis hakneses, that if he starts his shtil shmonesrei and the shliach tzivah is up to kedusha, can he stop and silently listen to the shots? Rashi says yes, and Tosfos says, what do you gain by that? It's the same hefsek. Apparently, Tosfos understood that Shomer Ka'onah Mamish, literally, and it has a din of aniyah, and if it has a din of aniyah, since he's in the middle of his Shmon Esrei, then to answer to Kedusha would be a hefsek. And Rashi says, no, Ke'onah means that vicariously you're yotze with his aniyah. So therefore you see that there's always going to be an issue here. Whenever the Chazal coined some sort of a phrase with a Chaf HaDimyon, we don't know whether it means, you know, literally. If you take it literally, it means Kol Echad V'Echad Omer B'Atzmo. But if you don't take it literally, it means that Hishmiya is enough for him to be Yotze, but it's not like a Dibur Mamish, and it's only Kid Dibur Dami. So that's the discussion we had. We spoke about the possibility of vidui maestros, of having someone recite vidui for you. And the Rambam went out of his way to say that no, you have to recite vidui yourself because that's a special chiyuv. It seems like the Rambam assumes that Shomer Kona would work in the case of vidui, which might mean that the Rambam held that Shomer Kona is like Dibur Mamish, and other Rishonim say not. And finally, we had the discussion of a Rambam that seems to assume that Shomer Ka'onah works without Amen, but if he answers Amen, then you don't even need Shomer Ka'inu, it's Ke'ilu Motzi Bracha Mipiv Dami. So it means that Shomer is only Ke'onah, according to that Rambam. Then we spoke about Odas Bal Din Kimea Eidim Dami. What was the Kimea Eidim Dami? Does it mean that it has the Nemonis of two Eidim? I mean, after all, he admitted that he's Chayav, and therefore we take it literally that Ke'onah, Kimea Eidim Dami, it's like 100 witnesses. Or shall we say no? That Kimea Eidim Dami is not to be taken literally, but rather figuratively. And here the Ktsos quotes the Maria Ben Leib, that really Shomer Kohen is not Emunis at all. It's not that we trust you like 100 Eidim. It only has a certain common power like 100 Eidim. Just like 100 Eidim could testify against you in a court of law and force you to pay up, so too, if you have Aldas Baldin, you could be machayev yourself to pay money, as if 100 Eidim had testified against you. We really don't know what happened in the case. Did you borrow the money? Did you not borrow the money? Is it yours? Is it not yours? All that is irrelevant. You, says the Maria Belev, you are machayev yourself, and he compares it to a matana. And the Ktsos disagrees vehemently, and he says, no. Kimea Eidim Dami is a din of their monis of Mea Eidim. And we brought a couple of nafkaminas. For example, we said there's an issue in the Rishonim whether or not Hodas Baldin Kimea Eidim Dami works retroactively Lamafreya or only Mikanu Lahava. And all that was predicated on this question. If it's Kimea Eidim Dami literally, then if the Eidim testify that this piece of land is not his, he's been squatting on the land illegally, exploiting it, and eating the peris of someone else for the last 10 years, he's got to pay, not only does he return the karka, but he has to pay the peros. But there is a sheet in Tosfos that, no, he doesn't have to pay the peros. It's in Bombasu Daflam and Gimel, which means that Hodas Baldin is Mikano Lahava, not Lamafreya. And that would make sense according to the Mari Ibn Leib, that it's a new Eschaivus that's Chal now. And other mafarshim say, well, if it's a new eschaivus, you require a maisa kinyan. Dibur itself is not a maisa kinyan. So they defend the Mari Ibn Leib that there's a difference between dibur chutz lebezdin and dibur in bezdin. Outside of bezdin, that, you know, when you stayed outside of bezdin without a kinyan, is not able to generate a new eschaivus. You need a kinyan. Does everybody know what I mean by a kinyan? What do I mean by a kinyan? I'm not going to trust you.
To acquire something.
Yeah, but what am I? I'm specific here. What kinyan am I? There's only one kinyan that could work for ischaibus, to create a new ischaibus. What's that called?
Don't
answer at once.
I'm not sure.
That's called a kinyan suda. The only kinyan at work is a kinyan suda.
You're right.
And he has to say kisvu tnu. You know, he has to tell the people to make a kinyan. If the edim aren't instructed to make a kinyan suda, they can't do so on their own. So according to Maria Malev, if let's say you claim against me in court that I owe you $100, and I say, well, I only owe you 50. So there's hadas faltin on 50. The Maria Malev says that's a new matana, a new ischaibus. It's only chal mikan lahava. Where's the kinyan? A new ischaibus requires a kinyan sudar. Like what we do at a wedding, you know, for the ksuba, we ask him to make a kinyan sudar. Or for example, if you want to sell your chametz to a shliach, you make a kinyan sudar. And many times you make a kinyan sudar.
It's not so gzeres hakosav that creates the ischaibus.
Which gzeres hakosav? Just because he said to the how do you say tovei in English? I always forget the word. To the plaintiff, he said to the plaintiff, yes, I owe you 50. Where's the gzeres hakosav over here? The whole halacha, the entire principle of kamei eidim dami, is based on svar. There is no gzeres hakosav. But the mechanics of a hodas faldin in front of Bezdin might be a replacement for a kinyan sudar. Another issue is that the Maria Malev is very difficult. That's what the Ksos points out. The Gemara at the beginning of Bar Metzia has a famous kal vachomer, shalotehe hodas faldin gdola mimea eidim dami. The Gemara is comparing Hodas faldin in the case of Odu Miktas to Shnei Eden, or to Mea Eden. According to Maria Malev, the whole equation of the Gemara and all the Kavachomers there on Daf Gimel are totally out of place. Okay, so those are the discussions that we had already about that. Now we're moving on to the Sugya of Toch Kedei Dibur. And what's the next letter? Not the next word, but the next letter? Chaf, right? That's the key. It's the Chaf. Kid Dibur Dom. We always want to understand, what is the nature of that chaf? Is it an equation? Should we take it literally? Or is it only a similarity, an analogy in terms of the din? But it's not kidibur dami. And here's the way we're going to analyze this issue of toch kidei dibur kidibur dami. And then we'll ask, how do we know that toch kidei dibur is kidibur dami? The halacha is that if I enter into a kinyan with you, I have a certain amount of time, an allowance of time within which I can back down out of the deal. I can cancel the deal. That's called chazara, but it has to be toch kedei dibur. What's toch kedei dibur? The amount of time it would take to say shalom alecha, mori v'rabi. So I don't know if you say it fast or you say it slow. I don't know. That too is about focus, but it's a short amount of time. In other words, when Chazal speak about a short amount of time, such that you're still attached to the previous moment in time, so T2 is connected to T1, and they need a shiur, they need a duration, like for example, when you talk about achila, so what's the shiur of Zman to be Mitzarif Achilas?
Achilas Pras.
Achilas Pras. What's the shiur of Zman to be Mitzarif two statements? So that we can conjoin, is there such a word as conjoin?
Yeah.
So we can conjoin them. That's called Tokadei Dibur Kedib. So here's the way I understand the machlokas about Tokadei Dibur Kedibur Dami. And I would ask you to listen to what I say, and then you'll read what he says, and you'll decide. I don't mind either way. If you don't like what I have to say, go with what he says. I'm going to give you my take on this. But I'm telling you up front, it's not the way he understands it. I think the machlokas about tokenei dibur dami is the following. According to the first pshat, tokenei dibur kedibur dami is an umdana. What do I mean by an umdana? We look into the psychology of a human being and we realize that people say things and, you know, they didn't get a chance to finish what they say. You know, sometimes you're not even completely at home with what you said. You need a little bit of time to rethink it, or to be absolutely positive. I call this an umdun. An umdun means, let's give a person, we shots up his mind, and we assume that, you know, within a certain period of time, he's still fine-tuning what he has to say, and in certain occasions, he may even change his mind completely. Or do we say no? Tokinei Dibur Kedibur Dami is not a hemshech of your Dibur. It's not like you haven't completed your statement until after this 5 seconds of time. No. What it means is that Chazal went out of the way to give a person a zchus, a legal right, to rescind his commitment. He made a statement, he made a commitment, now let's give him a little time until he changes his mind. So again, let's understand it. The first way of saying it is that his dibur is incomplete. Dibur is supposed to, is meant to convey what he has in his mind, what he has in his heart. Until you give him that little extra time, he hasn't finished his storytelling. He hasn't finished expressing what he has in his mind. The other way of understanding is that no, this is a legal principle. And the way the legal principle operates is that we give a person the right to negate and cancel and void what he did a minute ago, or 5 seconds ago at least. And that's what the Tokinei Dibur is. So what I'm going to claim is that when you read through the Rishonim, as we're going to do now, you're going to look for key words. If you look for words that indicate psychology, then it means that Tokinei Dibur is psychological. It's a halacha in Dibur, that you're still continuing your Dibur because you haven't really solidified your decision.
It's like a Gemira Belev type of
curve. Okay, it's like a Od Lo Gomer Beliva. You know, until after Kedei Dibur, Od Lo Gomer Beliva. The Gemar Das is not there. A person gives himself a little bit of time till he makes his final decision. Or, alternatively, if you find in the Rishonim the word Zchus Chazara, that's already a different lingo. That is a formulation of some sort of a legal right that we're going to grant you to void what you did or what you said immediately before. So let's look at the Rishonim again. I didn't photocopy this because you should have this in front of you. John, is it your page Tzadi?
Yep.
Oh. So on page Tzadi on the bottom right, and if anybody wants to photocopy this, we can take a 2-minute break, but otherwise, I'm just going to plow on. He quotes a Rabbeinu Tam. This Rabbeinu Tam does not appear in Tosfos, it appears in the Ramban. Very interesting. The Ramban quotes this Rabbeinu Tam at the end of Masechta Bava Basra, and he writes that Hatam, the reason why a person could back down from a deal, Tokedei Dibur, Mipnei Shepa'omim Sha'atalmid, who's involved in this sale of Mechira or Knia, he's either selling or buying, he's a Talmid, right? I would say that most of the, you know, within a certain age bracket of the male population of the religious community are made up of Talmidim. You know, they're Rebbeim, but most are Talmidim. So what happened to this Talmid? Avar Rabbo Olav, his Rebbe passed in front of him. It's impossible to demand of the Talmud that he should ignore his Rebbe. He has to give shalom to the Rebbe. That's part of the mitzvah of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, L'Rabos Talmidei Chachamim. U'mishum takana, you hear this word takana, tiknu shalo yafsid b'kach. In other words, they gave him, and who the they is, I guess it's Chazal, the Chachamim, gave him the rights, they gave him they wanted to protect him from a possible loss, giving him an allowance to respond to Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umori. V'hainu damrinim v'mesechta nazir de'i hachi, if you don't allow a person to change his mind within that period, lo shavchis l'talmidi, you don't give him a life, v'hishvu chacham v'doseyam, and therefore the chacham wanted to make it equal, not just in the case of a Talmud. V'tiknu ken b'chol davar. So they made a takana, says Rabbeinu Tam, in every situation, giving him the right to change his mind so that you can allow him to get distracted for a moment, or a fraction of a moment, and say, Shalom Alecha Rebbe. So even if you're not a Talmud in front of your Rebbe, the Rabbeinu Tam says, Lo chilku b'davar ela hishvu es divrayim hishvu chacham es midos tehem. So I'm going to ask you in just a minute which is the key word in Rabbeinu Tam. And then the Rabban quotes the Ravid, and the Ravid says that Kevan di Omer Rabbanon, since the Rabbanon say Hakore Eshma, if a person is reading Kriyat Shma, Shoel Mipnei Hayira. Now, it's very interesting. What's the source of Tokedei Dibur? According to Rabbeinu Tam, the source of Tokedei Dibur is the Talmud responding to his Rebbe while he's in the barter exchange, selling and buying situation of Mechir and Kniya, that he should respond to his Rebbe who's over Lefanov, Shom Alecha Rebbe Umori. According to the Ravid, the source of Tokedei Dibur is the halacha in Kriyat Shema of Shoel Mipnei Hayira, that he's allowed to ask his Rebbe for Shalom, you know, how you doing Rebbe, so to speak, because he has the awe of his Rebbe, even if he's in the middle of Kriyat Shema. Again, we're not going into all the nitty-gritty details, exactly where in Kriyat Shema and so forth. So this is the Ramban. So he says the following. He says that Lefishitas Haravid, the Ravid who invokes the halacha of Onim Mipnei Hayira in the case of Kriyat Shema, Tzarech Lomar Shetokedei Dibur Mahave Al Pidin Hazman HaKatan Biyoter. He's saying the following, that according to the Ravid, what difference does it make? You know, we're dealing with the whole issue of Tokedei Dibur, meaning Chazor, that he wants to rescind the deal, he wants to back down to the deal, is Alok and Dini Mamanus. And now you're quoting, you're evoking some sort of a situation, a scenario of Kriyat Shema? It's totally irrelevant. He's being mawkish, he's comparing apples and oranges. What's the common denominator? You hear what's bothering him? You know, for the writer to stretch his arm out to the laws of Onim Mipnei Hayira in this context, he says the answer is the Ravid is looking for the sheer Zman HaKotan Bioser. He's looking for the shortest amount of time to measure time. And he came up with the Zman HaDarush, the amount of time that's necessarily Amiras Tokedei Dibur, which is the short period of time that they allowed him to respond to his Rebbe, even though he's reciting Kriyat Shema. It's such a short period of time that Lochein, therefore, Mutal Lahafsik V'Yemtza Kriyat Shema, Kidei Lishol B'Shlom Ram Nekovim Neira. So this is a Shir Zman. And the Chachamim was saying, according to the Rabbi, Ad Zman Zelo Asim Lo Klum. In other words, the time period hasn't ended yet. So notice that according to the Ravid, this is a takonis chazal, to give him a short period of time, and this is the shear of Zman, called Tokedei Dibur, which we borrow from Kriyat Shema and Shom Alecha Rebbe Umori. So it sounds very much that the Ravid is learning that this is some sort of a takona, and if it's takona, we're looking for a shear of Zman. Now, what about Rabbeinu Tam? I don't know that Rabbeinu Tam is arguing with the Ravid about this point. Rabbeinu Tam at least thrusts us back to a scenario of Mechira or Kniya. Rabbeinu Tam sover the Tokedei Dibur who klal shel zchus lamedaber lachsov midiburo. I mean, that might be very true, but I don't know that the Ravid disagrees with this. Notice when the Ramban presents Rabbeinu Tam and the Ravid, you can argue one way or the other whether you like Rabbeinu Tam and the Ravid or vice versa, but both are trying to discover why and how the Chachamim made a takana allowing a person to be chozer. It means that neither the Ravid nor Rabbeinu Tam are operating within a psychological frame of reference. Again, you could ask yourself the question, why the Chacham made this takon? So let's go with the Ravid. The Ravid doesn't even address that question. The Ravid just says, well, I'm in the middle of Kriyat Shema, what's the shortest period of time that's not considered a hefsek? The answer is to answer Shom Alecha Rabbi Umori. So that's not a hefsek. So what is he saying? Is he saying that, you know, that therefore the Chachamim were Yored L'Sof Daito Shal Adam, and they understood that he wasn't completely Shalem, he wasn't completely convinced that he wants to enter into... It sounds like he's operating with a Takana.
Sure.
But then you go back to Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam is also talking about a Takana, because he says, well, what are we going to do with this guy who's in the middle of a deal, you know, $1 million deal, and his Rebbe goes by, he's got to stop in the middle. So we also have to give him a takana and the ability to manipulate and change his mind. So Rabosai, I'm very apologetic here because I don't want to prejudice you. You got to read it and decide for yourself. I don't believe for one minute that this Rabbeinu Tam and the Ravid are arguing about this fundamental issue. Both Rabbeinu Tam and the Ravid are on the same team. They're on the same radar screen. They both use the term takana for chazara purposes. There are two ways of deciding how the chachamim evaluated what amount of time they should give you as an extension for the possibility of chazara. So Rabbeinu Tam wants to thrust us into the world of buying and selling. So he puts us into that scenario. You're in the market, and now your Rebbe goes by. So says Rabbeinu Tam, that's a good way of determining how much of a time period we should give you for chazara. That you shouldn't kavyachol get messed up if your Rebbe goes by and, oh no, now they're taking you to court because you didn't deliver the goods on $1 million deal and you didn't even get a chance to finish up what you're doing. If anything, you could say, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that the man is still confused. He's entered into the deal. He says, all right, I'll sell you, you know, 100,000 items at the price of $250,000. You know, but he's, you know, now all of a sudden he gets distracted, his Rebbe goes by, and maybe he would have changed his mind, so we got to allow him that. But I don't think, according to Rabbeinu Tam, this is an umdana, that in every case we could assume that when he was chozer, tokenei dibu, he really never meant to enter into the kinyan. But rather, Chachamim, because of his confusion, will allow him chazara. So it's definitely a takonis Chachamim according to Rabbeinu Tam. And how much more so according to the Ravid? Because the Ravid is just looking for a shear of Zman Katat. And he borrows it, he stretches his arm out to Kriyat Shema, which has nothing to do at all with umdanis or with changing your mind. See, there's no way that you can analyze this machlokas in inverted commas between Rabbeinu Tam and the Ravid in terms of the Chof HaDimyon of Kedibur Dom. But now he has something I think that's very important. And it's a machlokas between the Rashbam and the Ran. This is also in Bava Basra. The Rashbam says the following. The Gemara says that in two cases there's no chazara toch kedei dibu. One is an avodah zara, and the other is in kedushin. So let's say in avodah zara he designated a certain piece of metal or whatever it might be, a piece of wood, as an idol, and that becomes a cheftav avodah zara nisar hanah and hachrim tachrim, whatever dinim apply. Now he wants to change his mind. Says the Rashbam, he says that even though in general we have a chazor tokedei dibur, afilu hachi nesra, in the case of avodah zara, the iser is chal, it's irreversible. Why? Mishum chumra de avodas kochav. I don't know what he means. But then he goes ahead in the same breath and he explains and embellishes this idea of chumra, and he applies it to Kedushin. Adam kidesh isha b'fnei shnei edim v'chazar v'omar toch kedei dibur lehevi matonu v'lo l'shem Kedushin. Ein shomin lo uvukudeshes shol nida get v'chumra d'rabbonon hi mishum laz mamzerus imtinose liacher below get. It sounds to me that And again, it's up to you to either agree or disagree. I'm hoping you'll agree that the Rashbam is operating within a halachic framework, and we can't allow this to go on. The Rabbanon are stepping in, and they're saying, Ad Kan.
It was in the case of Zara, that is like exactly Rabbanon, or that was only in the case of Kiddushin?
It's hard to say. The only words we have in the Rashbam in Avodah Zarah is Mishum Chumer the Avodah Kochav. I don't know. He never finishes the sentence. So what I thought was that maybe he left it until he got to Kiddushin to finish the sentence. Because when he gets to Kiddushin, there's no Chazor after he said to Arayim Kudeshli. Now he wants to say it's Matana. He adds the following: V'chumra Mishum Laz the Mamzeris. But I'm thinking to myself that also in Avodah Zarah there's a chumra. Why? Because people are going to say, look, this man just designated for Avodah Zarah, and now you're enjoying the benefit of it, you're using it. That's a chumra dika iser. So Rabbanu wanted to avoid this whole possibility of chazor tokadei dibur. And they stepped into they intervened and said, Ad kan, here we're not going to allow for chazor tokadei dibur. If we allow for tokadei dibur in these two cases of an ashes ish, well, the Chumra of Avodah Zarah, we find many different Chumras in Avodah Zarah that the Rabbanan instituted, there's going to be anarchy. But it sounds to me that we're working within, Tokei Deidibur works within a legal framework of a Zchus Chazorah. And the Rabbanan said, Ad Kan, you're stepping over the, we can't give you a Zchus Chazorah in these two cases. But listen to the Ron's language.
But come to say, even for the other Svara,
of Umden,
you can also say that.
You could definitely apply it here, but I don't think it fits into the language of the Rashbam. It's the Ron who introduces this concept of Umdena. He says the following: Nirabi Einai, this is the language of the Ron. Shebishar mili delo chomer kule hai. Kisha Adam Osa Osa Lo Gomar Bedaita. He hasn't yet come to look. He's very flippant about it. Well, all right, it might be a big deal. I don't know. He may be selling a hotel out in who knows where. It's worth billions. But Ella Osa Bidas Avoldaito Sheyocholachzerba. The word das here to me sounds like a psychological umdana. Avohani. Meaning Avodah Zarah and Eishes Ish. Kevon de Chamiri Kuli Hai. Hey man, you're not playing games over here. Ein Adam Oso Son Elabas Kama Begmura. He's come to an absolute conclusion. So again, both the Rashbam and the Ran are operating with Chumra. But what I'm wondering here is, what's the impact of Chumra? From the Rashbam's point of view, the impact of Chumra is that we can't take any chances over here. This is Laz Mamzeris. Today he says, I married her, and then tomorrow, no, I changed my mind, so she doesn't need to get, because Chazor talked to the Dibur. And people are wondering, wait a minute, we just heard, the whole band was there, the Rav Avisada was there, the Eidim were there, and the Ksuba, and now all of a sudden he's playing games with us. The whole thing was a bluff. It was a matada. That's Laz Mamzeris. It sounds to me that there's a legal mechanism here going on. Nowhere does the Rashbam say that because of the Chumra, he had a complete, full decision of Gemiras Das. It's the Ran who introduces these concepts of Das. And again, he doesn't take it that way. But, you can look at the way he understands it. But I would like to suggest that here we finally found a source for two understandings of Kid Dibur Domi. If I take it liberally, Kid Dibur Domi means let him finish up. Give him some time. Says the Ran, we're not going to let him finish up over here. He was dead serious about it in Kiddushin and in Avodah Zarah. But if on the other hand, we're talking about Tokidei Dibur, love Kid Dibur Domi on a psychological level. But Kid Dibur Domi, we're going to generate a new Schus Chazara. For whatever purposes, let's say if we go to Rabbi Natan because Nebuch is a Talmud and all of a sudden his Rebbe got fired, he got fluked away, he got distracted. So then, we're talking about the Shitas HaRashbam. The Rashbam says that, we can make this Takana when it's easygoing. And we don't have to suffer the consequences, but we're not going to make this Takana to be Mechadish Eschus Chazara, a legal opportunity to avoid what he did, when the repercussions down the line are extremely severe. Rashbam puts a limit to the creation of a schus chazara. It's all a legal way of thinking. The Ran, on the other hand, puts everything into psychological terms. You can always tell me that a person was lo gara v'daito when it's not a matter of life and death, but when it's a matter of zaro eish ish, then a person was gomer v'daito. Now, the significance of Gemiras Das in Kiddushin is crucial. Like, for example, there's a famous tshuva of Moshe Feinstein about children that were playing games, you know, up on the roof, and they got together their whole class. You know, he's talking about a co-ed school. I don't know if it ever happened in Maimonides, but I know a co-ed school in Brooklyn where this happened. And a guy got up, and they had a whole mock marriage, and this was a terrible issue that she wouldn't be able to marry Cohen, you know, because she needed get. So Moshe tried to prove that there was never Gemiras Das. And the whole issue here, of an Eishes Ish, it was all contingent upon, was there Gemiras Das or was there not? So normally we say, look, he took two Edim, and he took a Shavu Pruta, and he designated the Edim to watch Kiddushin, and so on. She accepted the Kiddushin in front of the Edim, that's called Gemiras Das. But I don't remember all the specifics of the case, but Moshe tried to show that this is just a game. They were playing games, you know, eighth graders in elementary school, they play all sorts of games that they shouldn't be playing. But that's what it's like. Now, I'm not saying, you know, therefore you have to send your kid to an all-boys school. Well, maybe that could be one of the reasons why. I don't know. So I'm just saying that Gemiras Das and Kiddushin is a major sugya. And the Pella of Kiddushin is that she just accepts the Tabas. She doesn't say a word. And that's enough to establish Gemiras Das. I have here somewhere, Rav Zevin, in a totally different context, he talks about Rav Baruch Ber. And I was thinking of learning this chapter with you, but I realized that I'm not on a level to understand Rav Baruch Ber. It's very, very profound. So I'll just give you one, just to give you a taste of how profound Rav Baruch Ber's thinking is, on page 290. Even the picture of him scares the living daylights out of me. Look what he looked like. He tells a whole story, which, Alan, I wanted to share with you because I thought you would appreciate this story. That at one point, Rav Baruch Ber had to leave the yeshiva in Kamenetz to go to America, probably fundraising, I guess. And when he came back, the yeshiva was waiting, like, mamish for the Rashiva to come back and give his first shiur in the yeshiva. So he describes it in great detail. 300 students gathered around in the middle of the Beis Medrash is Rav Baruch Ber, and they're sitting on different levels, and like everyone's listening and at the thing. And he says the following, that Rav Baruch Ber started with a stira, a machlokas, shina ramam and rivet, and hilchas avodim, a very complicated case where a man says to a shivcha that this is your get shichur, but she's pregnant, and he doesn't have any agreement to allow the vlad to be a ben chorin, and can you split between the shivcha and the vlad? And it's very complicated. And Rav Baruch Ber goes on and on. He has a whole summary of the main points of the shia, and like as he's getting to the punchline of the shia, Beina Talmidim, amongst the 300 students, you listening, Alan? Chaya Chadash. There was somebody there who was, this was the first time he heard Rav Baruch Ber. Ulitimhon Kulam, for the surprise of everyone, another 299 students, Ahmad Vishal, he stood up and he asked the question. And he said, ain't any maven? I don't understand what you're saying. Mashayach be'evet shnei kinyonim. You know, Rav Baruch Ber once said there are two kinyonim that you have on an evet. So Rav Baruch Ber, his dakef bimlo komasa, the Omar. Any yachol lahavir. He said in Yiddish, I'm sure. I can't understand. Ech lo mevinim divrei hegyonim elu. I gave you a logical presentation. You don't understand. Shir zeh amarti lefnei balabatim in New York. Veheim hevinu yofe yofe. Ve'ata ben yeshiva talo mevin. Umilvad zeh. Eineni yachol lavin eich efshal akshot be'eretz hashir. How can you ask a question in the middle of shir? He says, Zochrani, I remember Shosha Mori v'Rabbi HaGoyim, Reb Chaim Salvechik, he writes in parentheses, Hoya Omer Ashir, Vani Ekshafti L'chol Milah, V'Yisi Roed, he says that when I heard Reb Chaim, I was shaking, he was like a tano was in front of him, right? The Kol Atzmosai, Roadu, he says all the bones in his body were shaking. The Shinai and my teeth, Hayunokshos, Mamish, he was biting his teeth. Dol and dor, ad shelo yachoti lohotzi mipi afilu hege. I couldn't even speak if I wanted to speak. Achre Ashir, Karol Yosef Talmud, who bikesh v'imenu slicho mechila al elva. After the shir, he calls to the Talmud. He says, "I want to ask you mechila." This is Lithuania, you know, 100 years ago. Anyway, so why did I mention this article?
Yeah, yeah, no, I had to ask you a question, actually.
That's what I was afraid of.
Did he grow up to be this Talmud?
Right, he doesn't tell you. He doesn't tell you. I was very curious.
No, but this is a question I wanted to ask you. Is there enough, you could see enough Gemina possibly, in when you're talking about Masumatan and so forth, they had to make this Takana because they felt, otherwise, if the person then went back on the deal, he would be over on Mishapara.
Ah, that's another explanation, right.
So therefore
they had to avoid that.
Right.
Okay, but nevertheless, there is a possibility of Chazorah in Dini Mominis, Tokedei. So despite all the hesitations and the inhibitions, they went ahead and they made this takon. But anyway, just to give you an idea of how complicated Reb Baruch Bear's logic is, listen to this. This is on page 302, if you want to write it down, and you can photocopy it later if you don't have it. He says, Mawa geder das b'kedushe isha. What is das in kedusha isha? Like we spoke here about the Ran, that the Ran says that he can't be chozer tokedei dibur after he said tare makudeshli because he had full das. But he wants to know about the das and the isha because that's very complicated. After all, she doesn't say a word and she's mekudeshes. In get, she doesn't have to have das, but in kedushin, she has to have das. So he says, "Begeder adas mavchin who," meaning Reb Baruch Bear makes a distinction, "bechilukim shonim, different dimensions of das." And he says the following. Yesh gimel dinim bedas bekabolas ha'ishas kesef hakidushin. You know, Reb Chaim used to say tzvei dinim. Reb Baruch Bear already has drei dinim. And he says the following. Aleph, din das al haknoas gufa. She has to have das to be makna her own body. Okay, so that's Aleph. Beis, din das al chalos kinyan kidushin. Lasos es hakesef Lemaisa Kinyan Kedushin. Very profound here. That she's not receiving the Kesef just as a matana, but she's converting that Kesef into a Maisa Kinyan Kedushin. I would have said that that's what the Baal does, that's not what the Isha does, but he's saying no, the Isha herself has to agree to the Baal that Nesinas Kesef is transformed into a Maisa Kinyan Kedushin. Gimel, he says. Das l'schias mamon. I mean, that's a universal halacha that whenever you receive money, you have to have das to receive the money. See, so there's a triple header in this das. This haknas gufa that she's giving over her guf. I mean, that's what she's making herself into an ashes ish. Number two, she has to have das on the maisa kedushin to make it into not just kabbalas kesef but a maisa kinyan kedushin. Number three, she has to have zechias mamon in Kol HaTor Kula, because otherwise if she doesn't receive the mammon and acquire ownership over the mammon, that's not Kiddushin. And based on this, he wants to compare Das to Kiddushin to Das in Hafrashas Truma and in Kinyonim in general. I got some business over here. So I'm just giving you a taste. I mean, again, as I said, when I saw the examples that Reb Zeman was giving, I said, no way, no how. I can't. I would need a month to prepare these sugyos.
Did you say it was longer or less for the das of Isha?
He says that the das for Isha is very complicated. She has to have three different agreements, and the das has to be a combination of A, B, and C. You know, if any of those three agreements are lacking in Hadas, then the whole condition is batal and mevutal.
And they don't say Das Ishes is Kalos, the Nashim Kalos.
No. That's a different Das. Yeah, good.
When a woman is married now, is she aware how complex the issue of Das is?
That's a good question. Yeah, like did she sit in the shir back in Kamenetz, you know, to hear a Baruch Ber, and she understood? You know.
In Kabbalistons, we have to give.
Right. But Baruch Ber himself would probably say to the Kala before the Maisa Kiddushin, have in mind the following three elements. I mean, you can imagine what would go on under the chuppah. Very complicated. Okay, then he has a ritva. This ritva is in Masechet Bav Metzia Daf Chav Ches Amid Beis. Very interesting case. I think if I'm not mistaken, the Rava was the Dayan, and Rav Papa was claiming that he lost the donkey, and that donkey that they found was his. I get the impression there were no simonim. You have to go back to the sugya. So if there are no simonim, then you can return a lost object to a Talmud Chacham, b'tfias eina, which he recognizes that it's his, but only if he has an established reputation as being an honest person. So Rabbi Rav Huna said, well, Rav Papa, bring me witnesses. I'm sorry, it's not Rav Papa, it's Avua the Rav Papa, the father of Rav Papa. Bring me witnesses that can testify that you're an honest person. I see Lisadi de Lavra Mayat Vital. And then you can take the donkey and go home happy. Azil Isi Sahadi, he brings in two Edim. And I listen to what Rabbi Baruch Huna the Dayan says to the two Edim. It's a little bit tricky. I would have said to the two Edim, can you testify about the honesty of this person? Instead, he said to them, do you know about him? De Ramayhu? And they thought he was saying, do you know about him that he's not a Ramay, that he's honest? But he, in a certain sense, he fooled them. And he said to them, do you know that he's a Ramay? So Amalei in, for sure we know. So if you take them literally, they would say, yeah, he's a Ramay. But that's not what they really understood. Amalehu, the father of Pup is standing there. He just brought these two Edom in to testify about his character. And they said, yeah, we know he's a rabbi. So he turns to the Edom, he says, I know a rabbi, I know. Are you telling me that I'm a rabbi? So they said to him, Anan lav rabbi kamrina. Lav rabbi at kamrina. What we meant to say was that you're not a rabbi. Omar Rabba Barav Huna, what do we do in this case? Mistavra, it makes sense. Lo Maisi Inish Chovase Lenafshe. It makes sense that the father of Rapapa would not have subpoenaed two witnesses to testify about him that he's a Rama. So he accepted their Chazor. So you see, says the Ritva, that Rabba Barav Huna had to create a whole, you know, scenario here to explain and justify why we could rely on these witnesses when they now clarify what they said. So Hiksha Ritva Balavachi, what do we need this whole thing? Yecholim Lachzer Medusas Aloch of Chazara. And the Ritva assumes that this was Tokhidei Dibur. So Tokhidei Dibur doesn't mean when I finish my sentence, it means when the interrogation finishes. So they were being interrogated. You know, is this what you meant to call him a rabbi? No. We meant that he's not a rabbi. So why do we need this whole, you know, fabulous explanation that he brought in these edim? And obviously, kashali, the Ritva's language in Bav Metzia Chav Ches. Afilu chozer magidim. Let's say they changed their story. My havi, who cares? Came in the Tokyo they dibur hadri b'hu. They can change their mind. The kaimalon. If after they testified, they say we were forced, we were compelled under duress to give this testimony, we believe them, and we cancel and invalidate their testimony. Here too, You assume that they were saying in, he's a rabbi. Now they're saying, no, I want to say he's not a rabbi. So they have a right to change their story. Talk to the divur. So why do you have to introduce this whole complicated explanation about why we believe them? V'yesh lomar, says the Ritva, is an answer to Hassam. When do we say that if they said anusim ayinu, they could be chozer and be mevatel original edus? That's mechozeru me'atzman. That's when on their own initiative they decided to invalidate their original statement. Aval hacha shechazru machmas ema, they were afraid of the father of Papa, because let's assume they had some sort of business relationship with him or friendship, whatever it is, and now that in public they're accusing him of being a rabbi, so they right away changed their tune. Shalom Anan Rabbi Levi. Once Rav Chizkiah's father said to them, "Am I a rabbi?" Is Yesh Lo Lomar She'enom Chozrim Umagidim. So it comes out like this: that if a person changes his story because of Ema, that's not considered Chazar Tokedei Dibur. In the case of Avua Drav Papa, it could be the Eidim were Chozer only because of Ema. On that, Rav Huna said, this whole Shtikal Torah, it doesn't make any sense that Rav Papa would have brought him to aid and testify to assassinate his character instead of to substantiate his character. So wait a minute. So let's just understand. According to the Ritva, there's no absolute halacha of Chazar Tokedei Dibur. The exception to Chazar Tokedei Dibur exists. In what case? Where we believe he was Chozer Machmas Ema. Now, let's go back to square one. We offered two definitions of Tokedei Dibur Kedibur Domi. One is that we believe psychologically that he wants to change his mind, and he never got a chance to finish his Dibur. And the other was that we create his Chus Chazara, and, you know, that's across the board. You give a person rights to void his halachic legal actions within Tokedei Dibur. Which way is the Ritva going?
Ema.
Say it again? And that's not called a Chazor. That's not valid. Why? What element is he introducing into the equation? Psychology, no?
Yeah.
You don't agree with me?
No, I think so.
There's a psychological element here. Normally I would say if a person, you know, changes his mind, that means he was still thinking it all out, and give him a little breathing space, you know, to calculate whether he does, he doesn't, yes, yes, no, maybe so. But in a case where I think he was chozer, but because all of a sudden he realized, oh no, I'm in deep trouble here, Avud, if my papa is going to, I don't know what he's going to do with me. So that's not called chazor. If on the other hand, chazor was a legal principle that the Rabbanan instituted, that gives a person a right to be chozer, I don't have to go into the psychology why he was chozer. Was he sincere? Was he, you know, was he overwhelmed by fear? All those elements are irrelevant. Now,
what is the advantage of bringing in of Ema in this matter for chazara? Because you could apply the same Ema to the original Aimus, that they came because, I mean, Papa's father asked them to be an aide. Are they going to refuse him? So, well, they have done their minds.
But it's very interesting. The Ritva says that as far as the aide having the right to come and testify as a character witness on behalf of Papa, there I don't say Ema. I don't say that he's motivated by Ema.
Exactly.
When does the Ritva say that he's motivated by Ema? That's where a papa looks them in the eyes in front of Bezdin and he starts screaming and yelling, did I bring you into Bezdin to tell Bezdin I'm a rabbi? At that point he says, Chazor is not going to be meaningful. So we give the Eidim the benefit of the doubt in their initial Eidus, where they were subpoenaed in by the Baal Din as a character witness. But when they all of a sudden change that tune and they say, no, he's a bad guy. No, he's a good guy. Because they realize they're in deep trouble. Then we cannot allow them to exercise the rights of Chazor. If the rights of Chazor are legal, and an aid yachal lachzer b'tokedei dibur, so that's exactly what they did. Why is the Ritva operating and saying, no, there's no chazor because of Ema? Let's see what he says. He says, l'fi ha-Ritva, Chazora mipnei ema eino muter. Okay, that's a strange language. Afilu tolkin de dibeniril sheshitos shaklal azem avusas al charata. So I think he means charata is a psychological element. I hope he means that. If not, that's how we're going to write it. The ilu tolkin de dibay avusas al kotzer zman, which I guess means that the rabbanon gave a person a right of chazor within a certain short period of time. So I think he's saying what we said. I think. All right, Rabbi Sami Rasol Ligavoa. What comes next? Kimasira Lehejo. Yeshlacha. What does it mean?
Does it? Which statement?
Ami Rasol Ligavoa. Kimasira Rasol Lehejo. In other words, normally if I want to transfer ownership over this object to you, you have to do a Maisa Kinyan. But in the case of Hegdesh, all I need is to declare this is Hegdesh. And now the ownership belongs to Hegdesh. And again, the Chazal all over the show used the term Kimisi Rosso with a Chaf Adivin. So Yesh Lacha, do we take it literally? That just like a Maisa Kinyan works in a case of a Hejot, so too Amira supplies or functions as a Maisa Kinyan with regard to Hegdesh. Or no, don't take it so literally, but rather what it means is that with regard to Hegdesh is a different mechanism that works like Kinyan, but it's not the mechanics of Kinyan. The Amira works and it's not a Kinyan. You don't need a Maisa Kinyan with regard to Hegdesh. There's a different mechanism. The Hegdesh could be Chal. He doesn't go into detail here, but I would say everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? It says, L'Hashem Ha'aretz V'Eloha. And what Hashem gives us rights to use it. So if I say, this is Hegdesh, I'm giving it back to its real owner. But that's not a Kinyan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need a Kinyan. Hegdesh doesn't need a Kinyan. Well, no, Hegdesh needs a Kinyan, just like any other Kinyanim. Just that Amira substitutes as a Kinyan. Then I take it literally, that the Amira is a Kinyan. Oh. So he has a Ran in Masechta Nedarim. There's a halacha in Kinyanim that if I say that this Kinyan should be chal li'achar lamid, then I have rights of chazara. I can null and void the Kinyan anytime up to the 30-day period because the chalos Kinyan is not yet binding. However, in Kachim, in Hegdesh, he says that shiny. Here it's different. Ami rasol legavoa, kimasi rasol lehejotami. And therefore, says the Ran, there's no chazara with regard to Hegdesh. It's already kimisi raso lehejo. So Rabosai, please note, the Ran is postulating a fundamental distinction between universal kinyonim, that's kinyoni hejot, and kinyoni hegdesh. Whereas in universal kinyonim, in the case of Liachar Zman, there is chazara. You can retreat from the kinyon. In the case of Hegdesh, there is no Chazor. Sounds like we're not working with Hilchas Kinyanim. But then, the Ran goes on to quote the Rashbah. And he says, in the name of the Rashbah, that Yesh Shivui Mole Ben Amir Legevoa Mesir Lehejot. That just like a Hejot Yochel Latzimo Tok Shloshim Gametzel Hegdesh, Yesh Chazor Tok Shloshim Yom. The Rashbah assumes a complete equation between the laws of Kinyanim and the laws of Amir Legavah. And just like in Kinyanim is Chazor in the case of Liachar Lamid within 30 days he can rescind and back down from the deal, so too in Hegdesh he can back down from the deal. And the Ran disagrees with the Rashbah. As we saw before, the Rashbah says that in the case of Kinesi Rasul Lehegdesh, there's no such thing as chazor. And the reason for that is because he says that hegdesh lo paka bichdi. Okay, so that's a difficult concept, but I think what he means is, again, I'm using my terminology, that according to the Ran, there's a new method by which you makna to hegdesh, which is called hatfas hashem hegdesh b'cheftz. In other words, you just put a shem hegdesh on the cheftz. Like in Truma, for example, it's not enough just to be mafresh Truma, you have to also give it to the Kohen. So in some cases, the Torah says that just being makfis the shame, that's enough to generate kinyonim. But the kinyanim are not the agent that the catalyst that generates the kinyan is not the kinyan itself. That's true in general in universal kinyanim, but in hegdesh, the kinyan and the transfer of ownership is a result. This is the Rebbe used to say the name of Reb Chaim of hatfasa shem. Shame hegdesh b'cheftz. So what I do is I declare this is hegdesh, and memela the kinyan is chal. That's what I think the Ran is saying. So once I declare that this is hegdesh, the kinyan will be chal, whether I want it to be chal or I don't want it to be chal. It's not like universal kinyan where my kinyan with my daskona and your das makne create the kinyan, so therefore we can rescind our das. Here it's inherent in the Heftah. I've changed the status of the Heftah. That's what Amiras al-Gavah means. The Amiras al-Gavah accomplishes the same as Mesiras al-Hegdesh. I'm sorry, as Mesiras al-Hejot, but not through the channel of Kinyanim, but rather through a different method. And therefore, there's no Chazor. You already were Matvis the Kedusha in the Heftah. But the Ran quotes the Rashba, and he disagrees.
Is there a difference between an algemeina, what you're just saying, like this should be, this gedi should be hektish, or as opposed to saying that this is truma? Because when you say this is truma already, lemaisa is you owe the truma. The truma belonged to the kohanim b'chatchila, but it was not clarified. Yeah, it wasn't clarified which was going to be the truma.
Yeah, it wasn't designated.
Right, but once you designate, once you pointed it or made this truma, you're finished, because they already had a tfisas before even before.
And the Ran is saying that all of Hegdish is like that. Why? Right. Forget about truma the kohen.
Yeah.
Look at Hegdish. Hegdish is given to you almost on an allotment basis, but it really belongs to Hegdish from the beginning. So all you have to do is designate it as Hegdesh, and the male of the Hegdesh is Chal.
And so that the Ran is saying that even on an algamen is something that it is not part of a set Matnus Kahuna or Matnus Hegdesh, like it should be.
Yeah, this table, I want to make this table, it's not part of any set.
Yeah.
But it's already got, so to speak, a potential Hegdish, and I just have to designate this Heftah as Hegdish. And then I remove my bialis, and therefore it doesn't work through Torah's Kinyonim. I think that's what's going on here. He goes on to say that usually in universal Kinyonim, Asmachta lo Kanya. And he wants to know, what about Amirasa legavoa b'derech Asmachta? Kishemachnim lehejot davar shelo b'liyol lo avi kinyan ma din b'nogea l'amiraso l'gavah b'davar shelo b'liyol. So again, before we see the machlokas, we showed him on these two questions, they're both really one and the same question, and that is, are we operating in amiraso l'gavah within the general milieu, the general regulations that apply to kinyanim? If they do, then asmachta lo kanya. And Darshalob Olam Eino Kinyan. But if on the other hand, Amirasa L'Gavoa is a new entity, a new method by which we transfer ownership over an object to Hegdesh, then it's ruled or governed by new regulations. Like, for example, it could operate even by Smachta, or even in the case of a Darshalob Olam. So he says that Dagos Oshri in Masechta Sanhedrin quotes the Arzarua. The Arzarua says, "Kshemoman shel shneim al adaf sheshochim bo da adaf va'amokom koni li oso shemarviach liknos bo mos aval osom shemesachkim be'muna." Amuna means asmachta. Vari afilu hiknu zelas lo kanu the asmachta lo kanya.
V'lomor b'kinyan. And
he's talking about Hegdesh.
Wow. But there's a fair shamaraya from the Navi that's not so.
Oh, I don't know about the Navi. Let me just,
okay.
If you don't mind, Alan, let me try to plow through the first one I have here, and then we'll go through Dimri Nevi'im. I'm just trying to get the feeling of what the Arzarua is saying over here. I don't have all the details here because I didn't have time to go through the rush. But let's just see. He then quotes the Mardechai, And the Mordechai in Bava Kamma disagrees. Shal Rabbi Shlomo es Rabbeinu Meir im Amira dasmachta mo elis behegdesh. This is the lashon of Mordechai. In other words, we would never assume, so says Rabbi Meir, I guess he means the Marami Rutenberg, I'm not sure, but anyway, he says that Amir Legvo cannot exceed beyond Mesir Lehejot, and therefore, came into Mesir Lehejot, Asmach Lokani. Okay, he gives the case of Asmachta here. We don't have to get into that. Is Kolshkein by Mir Legavod Asmachta Lokanya? So this was the opinion of Rabbi Shlomo that he sent to Rabbeinu Meir. And Rabbeinu Shlomo came to the conclusion that certainly Amir Legavod, which isn't even a Maisa Kinyan, is limited by the same limitations as a Maisa Kinyan. So if a Maisa Kinyan, when I sell you something, is a Smach Lokanya, Kol Shkein by Amir Legavod. The Heshiv Rabbeinu Meir, the Ein HaPirish B'Mesira Greda, it's not that we consider Amir Legavod like a Mesira and only like a Mesira, and therefore again, Mesira Lehejot, which is a Kinyan, is a Smach Lokanya. Lehochi Perusho. Ami Rasol Legavah Kimisi Rasol Lehejot Kimisira Hamo Elis Lehejot Be Aza Inshin Shetimtza Shetoel Mesira Lahaknoso Lehejot Is Mahani Nami Amir Legavah. In other words, it doesn't mean it's like Misi Rasol Lehejot in these particular circumstances and under these conditions, but it means Kimisi Rasol Lehejot in the optimal Mesiras Lehejot, where everything is Kedasu Kedid. Amir Legavoh is always like the perfect Mesir Lehejot. Klomar, V'asmachta Mo'eles V'Hegdesh. How does he know, Rabbi Meir, that Asmachta works for Hegdesh, and that Amir Legavoh is like a perfect, full-fledged Kinyan in Hejot, meaning even like even if it wasn't an Asmachta? He says, "Kidamrinon hocha," like the Gemara says here in Shor Shanukach Sapara, "Nisvinon laanim." Should we give the money to anim because anan yad ani anan? I am representing the anim. So the tzedakah was gathered together by whatever amora who was there in the sugya. He says, "I'm going to be kone on behalf of the anim." V'hiksha Rabbeinu Shimshon Mishans. V'im Tomar, why do you have to come on to Yad Aniyim Anan below Yad Aninim at Mischayv Itztok about Miroso? Why do we need that the Chacham who's in charge of representing the Aniyim, he makes a Kinyan on the Mos, and therefore we cannot take it back? Why not simply say that Beficha, the Gemara says, Rosh Hashanah Daf, where is it? He doesn't tell you Daf Vav, I think it is, where is it? Beficha Zutztaka. Yeah? So Beficha Zutztaka, I know you're learning Rosh Hashanah now, right? So he says that there's a din of Beficha with regard to Tztaka. I don't have to actually give the money to the Ani. All I have to do is declare that it's Tztaka. And we apply the principle of Ani Rasul Tztaka Kimisi Rasul Ehejon Tami. So why did the Gemara have to come on to this principle of Anah Yad Aniyim Anah? The Yishlam and the Kemosha Ein Makdishim Dovah Shalom Bali Olam Hachinami Eino Nosein Staka Dovah Shalom Bali Olam Ukshaomar Nasvei Laniyim Lohoya Kone Hegdish Unahidim Omer Haya Omer Sela Zu Kshayavo Liyadi Etnenu Litztaka is Dome Husha Mischayev Mitam Neder Gam Behegdesh Im Omer Et Nenele Hegdesh Havi Mahani Aval Zelo Omer Kenele Nasvei Laniyim. In other words, it all depends upon whether he uses a complete total language of a pronunciation, a formulation that indicates that he definitely is giving it now to the Aniyim. The fact that he says Nasvei Laniyim, that's too general of a commitment. But otherwise, had he made an absolute clear formulation, a clear commitment, and he would say, I'm not a tnenu lehegdish, but that this should go to hegdish, or this should go to the aniyim, that in such a case, we wouldn't need yad aniyim anon. Even without that, it would be like amirasal legavah. Alma afilu b'dovah shalom bali olam, to garat fei me'asmachta, even if it's worse than asmachta. Because in the case of Dovah Shalom, you don't have the cheft in the world. There's no possibility. There are certain cases in Asmachta where Asmachta is Kanya, but not in the case of Dovah Shalom alone. You're not giving him anything. Afal Pichen, Mahanya, it works in Stokko or in Hegdesh. Im Omer Hashta, Im Yavo Liyadi, when the money comes into my possession at Nenulit Stokko. He says, even though this is a case of a Dovah Shalom Boli Olam, now he doesn't have the most in his possession to be Machnid. Nevertheless, Tzedakah is Kona this month. It really creates a Kenyan. So to make a long story short, he goes on and on, but we're going to stop here. What we see clearly from Rabbi Meir in his response to Rabbi Shlomo in the Mordechai and Bava Kama is that the halacha of Asmachta Lo Kanyo, or the halacha of Dovah Shalom Boli Olam, those two halachas which restrict and limit the power of Kinyan in universal Kinyan do not apply to Hegdesh. And in Hegdesh, even if it's a Dovah Shalom Boli Olam, and even if it's an Asmachta, the Hegdesh is Chal, and it's absolutely valid. That's the Maskota here, the Mordechai, the name of Rabbeinu Meir, where Rabbeinu Shlomo thought that just like Asmachta is not Kona with regard to Hegdesh, so too it would not be Kona with regard to Hegdesh. So the Machlokas here seems to revolve around how to understand Amirasa Legavoa, Kimisi Rasa Lehegdesh. Do we take it literally? And it means that it's like a Kenyan, and therefore all the laws of Kenyan and anything that undermines a Kenyan would undermine a Hegdesh. Or do we say, no, let's not take it literally, but rather Amirasa Legavoa operates in a whole different way, and it's even greater than Misiras LeHegdesh, and it wouldn't be limited, and it wouldn't be undermined in the case of an Asmachta or in the case of a Dovah Shalom Boli Olam. All right, Rabbi Osai, we'll stop here, and Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow we have one more piece on Tchuta Kavisha Hunchanom, again, off Adimi. But you should know, since it's Erev Purim, I just want to tell you this. Haman made a mistake about the Chof HaDinyan. When Haman, the Gemara tells us in Menachos, accosted Mordechai, what are you teaching the children? So he told them that he was teaching them Kmitza. So Haman got very excited about that. So the Mepharshim say, why was he so thrilled? Because the Chachamim say that when you learn the laws of Kachim, is Malal of a Kosef Kilu Hikriv Karban. So Haman was a big lamdan. So he understood, according to Chazal, that what Mordechai was doing is he was bringing a carbon mincha, and it was after the Churban Abayis, and that's an Easter of Kachin Bachutz, Yechayv Kares for Kachin Bachutz. So Haman thought this was a great omen that Mordechai was learning with the children the laws of Menachos because Kachin Bachutz. He didn't understand what the Gemara meant when it said Milo of Akosu Kilu Hikriv Karba. It's only Keilu Hikriv Karba. But it's not really Akrovis Karba. And moreover, Chazal say in another place that Milo of Akosu Kilu Bana Es HaMikdash VeHikriv Karba. Therefore, it wouldn't be Kachi Kedushas. That's just the part for Purim.
Is that it's Hana, says that if she has a son,
that
it's you, and it was in Kafaya, it was a double shalom, what she said.